The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those of the owner, staff, or management of this radio station.
It's time to start living inspired with Tricia Goyer. This is your show, ladies, to dig deep into topics that matter most to you, featuring everyday stories of transparency and hope. Tricia is here to inspire you to make changes in your lives and make a difference in the world. Tricia is a wife, mom, speaker, family expert, and author of 24 books. Using her own experiences as a teen mother and leader of today's generation, Tricia's vision is to be the voice of hope and possibility for women of all ages. Her intention is to serve ordinary women by encouraging extraordinary things with God's help. It's living inspired. And now, here's your host, Tricia Goyer.
Welcome to Living Inspired. I am so glad that you're here today, and I know that you're really going to enjoy today's guest. Let me tell you a little bit about our first guest, Leslie Westfall, and we're going to be talking about her book. Let me mention it first, Dancing Upon Barren Land, Prayer, Scripture Reflections, and Hope for Infertility. So Leslie Westfall is no stranger to infertility. She experienced the painful emotions and asked God endless questions, but God turned her disappointments into appointments with Him and healed her from the grief of infertility. And we're going to be talking to Leslie today and just talking about her book and just what encouragement she has. Maybe you have dealt with infertility in your life, and maybe you have a friend. I know that you'll be encouraged. So welcome, Leslie.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, it's so great to have you, and I know that you have a lot to share, and there's, you know, I want you to talk about the book and statistics and all these things, but first, I would just love to know a little bit about you. Tell us more about your life.
Well, my life right now presently involves a lot of ministry work due to having a couple of support groups here in Houston and an online ministry, but I also teach etiquette and cooking to children, and I'm also a manager at Ronald McDonald House in Texas Medical Center at Houston, and I'm married to a wonderful husband of 24 years now, and so we live life to the fullest and have lots of fun, so I keep quite busy.
So, you know, it sounds like you have a busy, full life, and it's so amazing that you're doing these support groups. I did support groups for, well, currently do a support group for teenage moms, which is a little bit different, but I've done post-abortion support groups, and it's just amazing when you get women together that have the same issues or the same pain, the same struggles, the same joys, and it's amazing what can come out of those. But, you know, I'd love to hear about your own story of infertility.
Sure. Just like probably most women listening, you know, as a young girl, you always have that dream of getting married and having a family. And so I met my husband in college, and after we finished college, we were married and started working on our careers and saving money for that first home. And I started feeling a very cavernous feeling in my heart, and I didn't really understand it, but it was, I was just searching for more out of life, more of a purpose. And I'm sure most of us ask that question at one point in our life or another. And it was at a Mother's Day church service where the pastor spoke on barrenness and different aspects of barrenness, you know, spiritual barrenness and even physical barrenness. And when he started speaking about women desiring children, it was just like the day I became born again. It was just a really profound impression and experience in my heart. So, you know, we left the church service that day thinking, oh, I'll just to become a mother. That is the, you know, God's purpose for my life, and I still believe it is, but it didn't happen, and it didn't happen quickly. And through it all, of course, there's that gamut of emotions that goes along with such, even that just intense grief. And finally, I saw a fertility specialist, and I was quite, I think, up there in age as I did, which I probably should have thought one sooner, but I thought, well, God put the desire in my heart. You know, why should I, you know, have to go do all this stuff?
Right.
But come to find out, I did have endometriosis and some fibroids and hormonal imbalances, and all those were corrected medically, but still, no child. And we went through a few fertility treatments, and that failed. And, of course, getting the devastating news, you know, there's no hope for you to conceive. It was very devastating. But even through all these years of going through what I've been through and am still going through, I would journal, and I would just get my emotions out, and I would pray and ask God, even though my prayers weren't pretty towards God, He would just really meet me every step of the way, whether it was through anger at Him or jealousy, you know, through a friend becoming pregnant. And I really saw God's faithfulness And through all this infertility journey, that just stirred a compassion and an empathy in me to try to help other women, because I know how painful it is, and it just seems like there are more women out there. And so through that pain became a purpose, and that's my mission today.
That is awesome. And, you know, the website, and I want to jump into that. I do want to jump into the purpose and the what you're doing to support groups. I want to just go a little bit more into all those emotions, because I think it's hard for us that have kids, you know, to understand the deep emotions. And I think it could be helpful to those out there today. And on your website, dancinguponbarrenland.com, there's an excellent video that I just love, just really just hearing the hearts of women and men that have struggled with infertility. And one thing that really stood out to me, one woman said, it's one thing to quote a scripture and another thing to walk it out in the flesh. Yeah. And talk a little bit about that.
That is just, you know, where the rubber meets the road, where your probably tears and snot meet the carpet fibers, you know, as we just get on our face before God. Because, you know, we can pray and we can quote scripture, and I think that's a great thing to do, because, you know, the Bible says death and life are in the power of our tongue. But, you know, sometimes those scriptures just don't get to the heart of it. And but God can. God in his presence and faithfulness can, you know, come in the power of the Holy Spirit and heal your heart of whatever emotion it's going through, whether it's anger or jealousy. You know, he can bring that light to where it just seems so dark. And, you know, it's one thing to quote a scripture, but to live and to walk it out, to see God work it out in you is another thing. And I think it's up to each individual, you know. And I think the most important thing is when you're going through trials, especially something as painful as infertility, is just to keep your heart open before the Lord and run towards them, not away. It's very easy to run away when you don't see things happening, when you don't have a baby to hold in your arms or one to adopt. But you just got to keep running to him, because he is a faithful God.
Absolutely. You know, and even you know, we had 3 children biologically, and then we were trying to adopt, and it seems like all my friends were adopting so quickly. Yes. That was so frustrating. I mean, any time that we have these hopes and expectations, so maybe someone out there, maybe your disappointment isn't with infertility. Maybe there's other disappointments. I think your words can apply to other women, too, that are or men that are just really struggling and saying, God, I don't understand, why me?
Yeah.
You know, and I, like I mentioned before, I mentor teenage mothers, and I've had friends that, you know, struggle with infertility and just have prayed for them. And then, you know, here's that my teen mom support group, another 13-year-old girl and a 14-year-old girl walks in pregnant.
Yeah.
And it is hard to wonder, God, why do you allow these things to happen?
Exactly.
Now, I know on the website, too, one thing that I thought was wonderful was the infertility etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
For husbands and friends and families, and just things to say and not to say.
Yes.
And it seems like, I mean, I would love to hear, what are some things that people have maybe said to you that weren't the right things to say?
Ooh-wee. Sometimes just saying, oh, you know, just relax or just adopt. Because, you know, usually after a couple of years, if a couple, like for us, instance, we couldn't have children, you know, and then you're told devastating report, well, just adopt. And that may be great for some, but I don't know if it's always the path for everyone. And so sometimes that would be kind of hurtful, because it didn't take away the pain nor the desire to birth your own child.
Right.
And so I think also, too, for other people, for me sometimes it's like, especially as the years have gone by in this infertility struggle, as you get older, people stop asking you, are you going to have a family? And I think just the acknowledgement that you still probably do desire to be a mom is, I know it's huge for me as I've gotten older. It's like nobody asks you anymore.
Right.
It's probably for like a single woman. And, you know, if she's older, probably no one asks her, when are you going to get married? You know, so, you know, it's a very tiptoe type situation. I mean, sometimes one can say too much, and one doesn't say anything at all. But then again, I think for the one that is going through any trial or infertility, And people are trying to be well-meaning, and you have to see that they are their hearts are good intentions,
right.
but they may not always say the right thing. And so, you know, we just have to always, just walk carefully and not get offended. And it's easy to do that, especially when your heart's breaking.
Absolutely. And, you know, you talk about the things that maybe have hurt what people said. What encouragement do you have? Maybe there's someone out there that has a friend, a family member that is dealing with infertility. What positive things could we say to them or encouragement that we can give to them?
Well, I think like I mentioned, try to see that your friend or family member hopefully has a well-meaning attitude towards you and just really has a compassion for you, but sometimes they just don't know what to say. And, you know, just accept it with a grain of salt and, you know, don't get offended or hold anything against them. But yet some family members, especially grandmothers-to-be, can be real demanding on the couple. Hey, give me a grandchild.
Really,
it's not within, you know, the couple's control sometimes to, you know, produce a child. It's essentially up to the Creator God. So I think you just have to try to, water on a duck's back, let some of those things just roll off. And if it's something that's really bothering you by what another has said, just take it to the Lord and just kind of put that burden before Him and ask His help how to respond to that other person.
That's really good. Now, I know that it seems like the statistics are rising. Can you tell us a little bit about the statistics around infertility?
Sure. The Center for Disease Control came out with some statistics. I think they're actually a little bit older statistics, but one-third of women experience infertility. One-third of it's an issue with the male. It was called sterility. Mm-hmm. And then one-third is combined. It's male and female, or what doctors say is unexplained infertility. So sometimes there's a misnomer thinking it's only a female issue, which it happens with men as well. And so I think we have to be careful to, you know, put all the blame or attention on a woman when it can be just equally with the male. So essentially it's 1 in 6 couples in America. Of course, that increases more worldwide. So, you know, just the sheer fact of that, probably within a group of, in a room with a group of people, somebody's either experienced infertility, sterility, or a loss.
Right. Well, again, I'm talking to Leslie Westfall, and we're talking about dancing upon barren land. When we come back, Leslie, I'd love to talk more about the support groups and the encouragement that women can find from them. And we'll be back in just a minute.
What are your dreams? What are your goals? It's time to be living inspired. Trisha Goyer will be right back with more ways to do just that. More Living Inspired is coming up right after these. Do you feel like when you watch a cooking show or read a food magazine that the recipes are not practical for a busy family? Do you wish you could have a conversation with someone about the best way to get dinner on the table fast after a long day at work? Are you tired of cooking dinner only to have your family turn up their nose at all of your hard work? Do you want to hear more about healthy living and finding more time to find your passion in life? We'll pull up a chair and visit with Heather Tallman, host of Around the Kitchen Sink, Thursday nights at 10 p.m. here on TogiNet Radio. Like many women, finding balance in life and time to take care of yourself is hard to do. Between managing a career and marriage and children and a busy family schedule, it's hard to maintain a sense of self. And Heather shares how she does it. Check out Heather's website, basilmama.com. Join us for food and a whole lot more on Around the Kitchen Sink with your host, Heather Tallman, Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com. Get ready to learn and play with Mrs. A, your host, Barbara Allison, Mondays at 11 a.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. Did you know that kids are only 20% of the population, but they are 100% of the future? How are you preparing your child for that future? The years between the ages of 0 and 6 are crucial for learning and development. Barbara Allison is a teacher, parent, and author on supporting children's early learning. Learning starts even before a child is born, and parents are children's first teacher.
Join Mrs. A for ideas, tips, and suggestions for fun learning and play activities as she helps you support your child. Starting early is starting smart. For more on Mrs. A, her books, the show, and her blog, check out her website, 123kindergarten.com. Then, come learn and play with Mrs. A, with your host, Barbara Allison, Mondays at 11 a.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. Welcome back to Living Inspired. In today's world, who is your cheerleader? Who is sharing your dreams, your wants, needs, and desires? This is the show to help with all those areas. It's Living Inspired. And now, back to your host, Tricia Goyer.
Welcome back to Living Inspired. I'm Tricia, and I'm talking to Leslie Westfall, and we're talking about her book, Dancing Upon Barren Land, which we're going to be talking about more in just a little bit, Prayer, Scripture Reflections, and Hope for Infertility. Now, Leslie, I know that you're going through this struggle, and when did the point come when you realized that there's other women that you wanted to reach out to and to connect with and to start these support groups?
I believe it happened several years ago, actually. There was just the desire to reach out to others. So I live in a large metroplex in Houston where there's 4 million plus people, and I decided to do an internet search to find out where's the local Christian infertility support group. I had the desire to gather some friends and family together to make baby blankets just to deliver to the women, just to reach out to them. And I could not locate one in the local Houston area. So we gathered together, made the blankets, and I found one outside of Dallas, which is about a five-hour trip away. And in delivering those blankets, there was just something that, like a seed was planted in my heart that, okay, this would be a great thing to do. But my friend that went with me, she asked me, oh, you need to start something like this. I go, like, where and how and what, you know, what, you know. And just a long story short, I am involved in the women's ministry at my church, at Lakewood Church in Houston. And Victoria Osteen, Pastor Joel's wife, asked me if I would begin an infertility support group. And that's been about 5 years now. Now we have actually two Christian infertility support groups here in Houston.
Wow, that's so amazing. Now, tell us about the first group, and I'm sure maybe someone's thinking, I would love to have something like that in my town. How did you get started, and what was it like, that first gathering of women?
Well, it was only a few. It was only a couple, but, you know, it doesn't matter how big or small. And what we did, we just shared where we were at on our journey, and we had a book. I sought out a really good book to try to use just to keep us guided and grounded in the Word. And so if other churches are thinking about starting one, I mean, I think it's a great idea. You could either do it, you know, for women only, like what we do, or, you know, couples as well. I find that women tend to open up more if a male is not there, especially dealing with intimate issues. So, and just guide them through the Word, maybe get a great book to, you know, that deals with infertility and God, and then make sure that they have a time to share where they're at in their journey, because I think what I've found in the support groups, women that come, they usually don't want to come the first time. They usually cry their eyes out and apologize the first time. But then after they leave, they're so glad that they came because they don't feel all alone. And they feel like there's someone that can walk alongside them and help and support. And the one at Lakewood Church has been going on for 5 years now. And we've had women come in that were totally devastated with negative news. And we've had over 50 babies born or either adopted to these women. So
oh, wow.
It's really doing a wonderful work. It's really a neat experience.
Now, is it hard if the, you know, you're in a group and you're all dealing with the same struggles, so, okay, all of a sudden someone does get pregnant or goes through adoption? How does their emotions there?
Well, that happens. In fact, just recently we had a group of about 20 women, and I tried to divide them up after the lesson into smaller groups. But within this one group, one woman was expecting twins, and two other ladies within her group had losses. And so I realized, oh, that can be quite heavy, you know, especially when you have good news to share and then you're hearing all this stuff. So I learned that I have to break up into smaller groups and more of the subject at hand, like if they have lost or if they're still desiring to adopt or, conceive. So it is hard, and you can see on their faces, you know, sometimes when women have struggled and have the good news that, oh, and another is pregnant, but we just try to encourage them,
right?
And that God is not, you know, no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he can do for another. So we try to keep it upbeat as possible, but it's always hard, you know, when you find out that news. So.
Yeah. Now, when did it go from the, you know, first starting the support group to turning into a ministry and realizing that God had bigger plans for you than just the local support group?
Well, it was after we received, we went through the last fertility treatment that did fail, and I received the news, you know, there's no hope for you to conceive, and that is, that's just like a death blow, because the imagined identity of a mother is lost.
Right.
And, I just remember I had been praying, God, if you desire to start an online ministry or, you know, just give me confirmation. And it was within a day or so, we had dinner with some friends, and they inquired how the support groups were going. And I said, well, I have a desire to reach out to more. I'd really like to start a website. And they said, if you want to do that, we'll give you the money up front to start. And so they helped to fund and planted the seed there. And it truly laid the groundwork for the website today. And so I think from there that God really planted in my heart, like, this is the mission. And so here I am still today. So
that is awesome.
Strong, but.
Yes. And it led to the book, Dancing Upon Barren Land. And tell me the layout for the listeners out there and why you wanted to write it that way.
Well, essentially, I wanted to do just a small little book for a resource for women or couples that they could tuck away or put inside their purse and just have, you know, something to refer to, because I was thinking about all the emotions I have been through and listening to countless other women. And so it inspired me to write prayers for all those. Hopefully I covered all the emotions and baby-related days, et cetera. But it was through having help with the editing and writing coach that my writing coach inspired me. She goes, Leslie, you're living this life to the fullest. You are experiencing joy even going through this. And so it has prayers and scripture reflections, and it also has a small chapter in there about living life while you wait. It's one thing about getting to the destination, but it's another about enjoying the journey while we're, you know, on towards the destination too. And then my husband and I write a little afterward about our sometimes conflict, you know, seeing eye to eye on trying to grow a family too.
I would love to hear more about that, because I definitely want, you know, I mean, you talk about what about adoption or what about this? I mean, these are couples that need to come to the same decision, whether it's fertility treatments or adoption. Tell us more about your story and, you know, just finding peace with coming to the same decisions with your husband.
Well, I believe, you know, once you do start to seek diagnostic help and medical help through it, there's a lot of decisions to be made. One, because it's so costly if you don't have infertility insurance. And so you're presented with all these options. Of course, your heart and you just want a baby so bad you would probably do anything. But then again, not everything that's presented is probably the best plan. And I think that's why it's very important to communicate with your spouse what is going on. Hopefully, if you can attend, you know, the doctor's appointment together, and then pray about it, because every option presented, you know, may not be the option for you. And then hopefully you can, as with your spouse, you can become in agreement with them, and y'all can be on the same page together. And if not, if they need some time and space, then just back off and give them to the Lord and just really pray about it. And eventually you'll come, I think, on the same page. And that's something that happened with us. You know, at first it's like we were presented with some of these options, and one, they were quite expensive, and we just didn't feel like it was for us. But, you know, once I talked to my husband and we prayed about it and had that peace, then we knew and we could walk together in that situation. I think that's what's real important, is that you stay together and walk together as one in this journey.
Which is really a way to strengthen your marriage. You know, any conflicts that we have, whether it's infertility or any conflicts in marriage, I mean, if you can walk through them together, it's amazing how these things that usually can pull people apart can bring them together.
Yes. And if you're going to parent together, you might as well try to start walking together before you become parents, you know. Mm-hmm. So
I love that. Now, what's your hope for, where do you want to see the ministry and where do you want to see the book going and how do you want to see it touching people's lives?
Well, I really pray that the book will just touch women and couples' lives while they're going through the journey. And I would love, through the ministry, to help grow support groups in churches all across the country. Mm. I get many inquiries, how do I start a support group? What do I do? And I feel, I guess, after having a couple of them for a couple of years, I have, not that I'm the end-all, be-all, but I think I have a little bit of foundational information that could help churches get started. And it would be very simple. It would be wouldn't probably cost anything except for someone's devotion and time. And because I really feel with the statistics given, there's a missed need there, a felt need that's not being ministered to the women or couples within a congregation that have experienced infertility or miscarriage or loss.
Right. Absolutely. So definitely go to the website if you're thinking, this is something our church needs. This is a resource that I want to get. Go to dancinguponbarrenland.com, and there's more information there. And tell us a little bit about what you have provided on the website, because there's a lot of great material there.
Yes, there's infertility etiquette, like you mentioned earlier, what to say, not to say, how to respond for husbands and family members, and there's even a little thing for doctors in there as well. There's different prayers on there. Some of those prayers are listed in the book. Some are not, but there's lots of prayers on there. There's Christian resources, whether it's a website or a book or even music. And then there's a devotional blog that I include, like Monday morning prayer, Fertility Fact Friday, and every once in a while I'll write a devotional for that. And, of course, the product page that has the book listed. So I think it's a wealth of information from a Christian standpoint through infertility.
That's wonderful. And we only have a minute left, but maybe there's someone that's sitting on the other end and listening to this that's facing infertility. Just what encouragement in 30 seconds do you want to give to her right now?
I would say never give up. Never give up on the desires of your heart, nor on your relationship with God, even though you don't understand. And just keep your heart open before the Lord. And just at all costs, be at peace with your spouse. And just really relish in the gifts and the talents God has put in you now, and try your utmost to enjoy the journey until you reach your final destination of parenthood.
I love that. Well, thank you, Leslie, so much. And again,
thank
the book
you.
Is Dancing Upon Barren Land. Buy it for someone or buy it for yourself if you need it. It's a wonderful, beautiful resource. So thank you again, Leslie.
Thank you.
And we'll be back in just a minute on Living Inspired.
What are your dreams? What are your goals? It's time to be living inspired. Tricia Goyer will be right back with more ways to do just that. More Living Inspired is coming up right after these. Are you the kind of parent who just wants their kids to live the life of their dreams? Well, grab your kids and join How to Raise a Millionaire Radio with Ann Morgan James and Jack James. It's a lively interview and call-in show, Thursday, 6 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. This dynamic mother and son team are on a mission. They want to empower kids to dream big and go after those dreams with gusto. They want to fill the world with kid entrepreneurs. Are your kids ready for success? Don't miss their fun antics, lively guests, and discussions. For more on Ann and Jack and their show, check out their website, howtoraiseamillionaire.com. Then join the conversation of lively interviews and call-ins, and let's give our kids the tools and encouragements they need to build a future they can bank on, no matter what the economy throws their way. It's How to Raise a Millionaire Radio with Ann Morgan James and Jack James, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network.
Do holidays and celebrations get you down and leave you feeling frazzled? Then join Sandy Fowler and her guests on Heartfilled Holidays every Monday at noon, 11 a.m. Central on toginet.com. Sandy will help you discover the secrets to having the celebrations you've always dreamed of while adding fun and meaning to your life. From Valentine's Day to Christmas to special family events, Sandy Fowler will show you how to put the fun in meeting back into those special days by taking a look at what we can do to turn the upcoming holidays into cherished memories and show us how to allow it to intertwine with everyday life. For more on the show, Sandy, and to receive Sandy's Holiday Happiness Booklet, go to HeartFilledHolidays.com. Then get set to discover the secrets to creating happy holidays and happy everydays by joining Sandy Fowler and her guests on Heartfilled Holidays every Monday at noon Eastern Standard Time on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to Living Inspired. In today's world, who is your cheerleader? Who is sharing your dreams, your wants, needs, and desires? This is the show to help with all those areas. It's Living Inspired. And now, back to your host, Tricia Goyer.
Welcome back to Living Inspired, and I'm Tricia Goyer, and I have another great friend that I'm happy to introduce to you. Let me tell you a little bit about Amy Lively. Amy Lively's passion is to help women magnify the name of Christ in their homes, neighborhoods, and churches. Amy's a teacher, a writer, a speaker, a pastor, a marketing consultant who draws upon her degree in practical ministry to lead women's neighborhood Bible studies in her home. She's also a speaker at women's conferences and a contributing writer at womensministry.net. She's an associate pastor at Life Church Ohio, overseeing communication and assisting the ministry with development of small groups. And she lives in Ohio with her husband, her teenage daughter, and one holy dog and an unsaintly cat, which just cracks me up every time I read that.
So bad.
Well, welcome, Amy.
Hi, Tricia. How are you?
You know, we had a cat once. And yeah, it was very unsaintly too. And then we gave it to a friend who loved cats, and yeah. Yeah,
our cat kind of showed up one day, and here he is. So
yeah, there you go.
Right now.
So
how are you?
I'm doing good. Okay, I was going to tell our story because I just got to meet you in person a couple months ago.
And I broke your van.
Yeah, well, we fixed it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was a funny thing. Now looking back at, we're meeting. I met with Amy, and then Sue Kramer, and then Lisa Troyer, and we went out to dinner and just, you know, uplifting, wonderful time. And I was a little bit frazzled when we showed up. And I think did we have the kids only like, was it 1 week or 2 weeks or?
You had them just a short time, and they had done something with laundry soap. Like I think washed themselves with laundry soap.
I was getting ready to go and meet you, and I had run downstairs. My husband had just arrived. I was all ready, and I got my mommy sweatpants off and, I think, put mommy jeans on instead. Ran back upstairs, and one child was pouring a whole gallon of laundry soap on the other child's head.
You had some clean kids.
I had to throw them in the bath after that, and, it was quite the mess. But it's always fun to connect in person, and then connect in that way just makes it even more fun.
Yeah, it is. I mean, when it's just real life, and like when you were reading my bio, I'm like, wow, I'd like to meet her.
I know.
It's so nice when it's all in, you know, in print, and you can go and edit and make things look great. But when it's just real life, and you're like, laundry soap, kids, broken van, just real life is a lot messier than that.
Absolutely, yeah. But tell us a little bit about the Neighborhood Cafe, and I love the new website. It's so cool.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, and yours as well. You know what? The Neighborhood Cafe is just about that real-life mess. It's just about being real and being real with the people God has just so carefully arranged right around us, just opening your door to the our neighbors and our friends and saying, come on in and see what it's really like in here. And let's just get to know each other without all the pretense and without any mask of just trying to say, you know, I've got it all together. It's just saying, oh, I need somebody to talk to. I need a friend. I need someone to do this crazy life thing with me. Mm-hmm. And just opening our hearts and then really following up with an action step and opening our homes to people.
And I love that, you know, because some of the comments that I know that I have said before, it's like, I know people from church, so I'm connected with them, but I don't know the neighbor across the street. Or it's easier to go across the world on a mission trip and share Christ than it is to my next-door neighbor. So when did God put this on your heart that, you know, you wanted to do something about it and to really just open your home to the people in your own community? Tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, I rarely remember the time I first heard the words of neighborhood Bible study, and it was like a light bulb went off, and I could really envision, oh my gosh, I'll do this, and this is what it will look like, and this is what I will call it, and this is what it will feel like. And I knew how to do the party planning part of it.
That was
one piece of it. And I knew the command, you know, love your neighbors, I knew that part. But that's kind of as far as I knew how to do. What I didn't know is what it would really, really feel like when I went up and knocked on that neighbor's door. And so I had this conviction. I think we all do. I think we all maybe feel a little bit guilty about it.
Right.
Because, you know, it is the number two command. We didn't make it up. It's love God and love your neighbors. So I really, really fought with it when God put it on my heart, because it was a great theory. It was a really great theory. And I did want to just pack a 50-pound bag of rice and go to Africa and take lots of, you know, pictures, and people would welcome me, and I would come home and, you know, go there as a hero. But when there's the possibility of maybe rejection, or the possibility of someone being, you know, turned off by that, it's a whole different thing. But I tell you, once I just opened my door and stepped outside and started meeting people, I just was so dismayed at all I had missed out on, because these women around me are just, they're delightful.
Yeah.
They're really delightful.
So tell us a little bit about that. Just, you know, taking those first steps, maybe walk us through the knocking on the doors, and then later to, you know, all of a sudden they're in your living room.
Well, that can be a long time, and it does take right. a little bit of planning. That's one of the things I've tried to provide at the Neighborhood Cafe. It's just those tools to get you from this first idea to really having women sitting at your kitchen table where you're face to face, and you can just get to know each other. But for me, the way it works, and I do a couple times a year, I host an open house. It's not a Bible study. I don't want it to be intimidating to women who maybe aren't interested in a Bible study, or maybe they do 10 Bible studies a week. I just have an open house.
Right.
Just come over for coffee. And I make up a little invitation, and I always put a little gifty thing on it. It can be anything from, you know, a cello bag with a few pieces of hard-wrapped candy in it, you know, a silk flower tucked in it. I try to make it gifty, and I literally knock on their door, and I say, hi, my name is Amy, and I live right there. And I always point to my house or give my reference so they really know I am a neighbor. I am not selling any cleaning products or anything like that. I just live right there. I say, now I've come to give you this. And I give them my invitation, and I say, you know what? It's really hard for me to get to know my neighbors. I've lived in so many different neighborhoods, Tricia, from near bigger cities and in little towns. I've lived in places where it was very easy to know each other, where families had been there for years and they knew everybody's business. I've been places where everybody was new. I've been out places where everybody's very private. But the same thing across all of them is you have to be intentional about getting to know your neighbors. For me, I have to write down their names. I have to write down their dog. I have to write down, you know, what we talked about so I can really remember it, commit that person, you know, to my mind and to my memory, and come bring it up again when I see them. So I'll just say I'm having an open house so we can just spend some time over a cup of coffee. I'm not selling anything. I just would like you to come. I'm going to keep doing this, you know, every other week. If you'd like to keep coming back, I would so love that. But this, just an open house. And many, many women respond because they want to see inside your house too. You know, it's just kind of like watching those home improvement shows, you know, where you're house hunting and all that. So
right.
there's a little curiosity factor. But there's also just such a need. There's just such a need for women to connect.
So tell me a little bit about just those first women that gathered in your home. And then you realize, I mean, these could be friends. You know, they're my neighbors, but, you know, how God had.
I have made friends. I mean, these yeah. women really went from complete strangers to, you know, like I barely recognized her as I'm driving out of the neighborhood, to this is someone I can call if I need something. Mm-hmm. And that's just huge to have that so nearby. So these women who are right around me are, they're just amazing. I have a new neighbor who just moved in a couple doors down, and I was passing out invitations to my open house, and I was all done, and I only had like one left, and I was getting ready to head in for the night. I thought, oh, there's somebody moved in just down there. I've got to go knock on her door. And I knocked on her door. She's still in the middle of unpacking, and she came outside, and she threw her hands up in the air, and she says, hallelujah. I've just been waiting. kidding. I've been waiting for something like this. And now she and her husband are getting really involved. We started a Facebook group for our neighborhood just where people can connect. And she's been really involved in that. And they're going to start up a neighborhood watch in our area.
Oh, wow.
I would not have met her had I not, you know, taken the initiative and just knocked on her door. And I know when people move into a neighborhood, you always think, oh, you know, I'll take them cookies or I'll take them a housewarming gift. And somehow it always slips past me. But when I have this reason, this gathering that I'm opening my home to all the women around, which is very efficient, by the way.
Right.
You know, you can have many people over at one time instead of, you know, 10 different gatherings. It gives me a purpose. Now, right next door to her is a house that when they moved in, I did take over a little housewarming gift because I wasn't having an open house. And it happened to be trick-or-treat night in our neighborhood. And so I knocked on the door. I knew people were home. I could hear them and see them inside. They just moved in the week before. And, you know, they shut off all the lights.
Oh,
they turned
wow.
off the porch light. They got really quiet. I was like, I can't believe it. I can't believe they're doing this. And I think it was because it was trick-or-treat night. They really didn't have any candy or something.
Right.
So I left the gift on the door, and, you know, it took many, many months before I was able to connect with the people in that house. And it's, I mean, our properties are just right across the street from each other, but I found out it's a young guy. It's a young guy who lives there, and I know his sister, and so I invited his girlfriend over. So, you know, don't give up. There are still people there who we need to know who's around us.
Right, and God put them in your neighborhood for a reason.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was just, go ahead.
You know, go ahead and tell what you're going to say.
I was just reading about this study that shows that the number one factor in determining your neighborhood's safety is how many neighbors you know by name. That is amazing. It's not security systems. It's not police patrol. It's how many neighbors do you know by name? That, see, it's not just like some random command that God gave so he could get more people, you know, into heaven. That
right.
happens to be an amazing and incredible benefit, you know, as more people come to know you and you get to tell them about your relationship with Christ. But it's not just some random command. There is a point to it. It's where we build safety and security and can even lead to salvation.
Absolutely. And really, I mean, this is how communities used to be, where everyone knew each other, they knew each other's names, they, you know, helped each other out. And I love the neighbors that I know. You know, I just got a Facebook message from my neighbor right across the street a couple nights ago, and it was 11 o'clock at night. She's like, are you still up? And I said, yes. And she goes, you have a 9-volt battery. And her smoke detector was beeping.
So, oh, yeah,
you know, yeah. And she was, her husband is out of town, and she's like, and it's just, and my son was able to run over a 9-volt battery. I mean, it is so good to know who's there and who can help you and who you can help. And it's really a big encouragement. Well, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, I would just love to hear some of the true stories of, in your life, of people that you've met, and ways that God has worked. And again, the website is theneighborhoodcafe.net, and you'll love it. There's tons of stuff to look at, tools you can use, and you can get your own cafe kit to start it in your home. We'll be back in just a minute.
Dreams? What are your goals? It's time to be living inspired. Tricia Goyer will be right back with more ways to do just that. More Living Inspired is coming up right after these. It's time to capture the simple peace of the Amish in your own life. Amish Wisdom with Suzanne Woods Fisher. Thursday afternoons at 5, 4 Central. Each week, Suzanne will have conversations with guests about living a life that incorporates principles of the Amish without going Amish. She'll cover the practical, simplicity, slowing down, reducing clutter, putting the brakes on materialism. The historical, how have the Amish survived for 400 years? How can we hold on to what we hold dear? And the spiritual, treasuring important values, honoring the past, and increasing peace of mind. You don't have to become Amish to make personal peace a reality. Amish Wisdom will help all of us live a simpler life. For more information, go to SuzanneWoodsFisher.com. With Amish Wisdom, Suzanne offers us a glimpse into a world of peace, serenity, and total commitment to family and God. This show just might change the way you live your life. It's Amish Wisdom with Suzanne Woods Fisher. Thursday afternoons at 5, 4 Central on toginet.com.
It's time to devote time to yourself and strap yourself in for a fun, down-to-earth, enthusiastic, compassionate, easy-to-understand discussion on the unlimited ways you can be all that you want to be. Join us for Be Institute Radio with Christine McKee on TogiNet Radio. Each week, Christine will have lively and open discussions and interviews, share stories and case studies, and hear from experts on the topic of the week. Christine, a registered psychologist from Australia and published author of Be by Design, How I Be Is Up to Me, hosts lively discussions and interviews every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Welcome back to Living Inspired. In today's world, who's your cheerleader? Who is sharing your dreams, your wants, needs, and desires? This is the show to help with all those areas. It's Living Inspired. And now, back to your host, Tricia Goyer.
Welcome back to Living Inspired, and I'm Tricia, and I'm talking to Amy Lively from The Neighborhood Cafe. You can find out more information at theneighborhoodcafe.net. There's her blog. You can find a cafe. You can start a cafe. You can find out more about maybe Amy speaking where you're at. So, Amy, tell us a little bit more about just your stories.
Well, you know, you brought up about your neighbor bringing over a battery this week, or, you know, you brought her a battery.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had one of those emergencies this weekend, only it was a little more serious. My husband was actually injured while he was working in the yard.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, he's okay. But, you know, I heard shouting outside of help, help. And so I ran out, and my back door neighbor, but we have a fence between us. He was on the other side of the fence, and he was yelling, help, help. And he pointed me over to where my husband was. And I went to help my husband. Before I knew it, a neighbor from across the street who happens to be a doctor was right there with us. Mm. And his wife came, and I just turned around, and there they were in my bedroom, you know, getting towels and things. And, you know, they were just right there. I don't even know where they came from. But they were there immediately. And we ended up at the hospital. And here in the emergency room, one of the nurses was my neighbor. And I had only met her because I literally knocked on her door and invited her over for coffee one time. And so I knew one of the nurses there. And you know what? I thought in the past, I don't have time to get to know my neighbors. You know, that just takes a lot of time. I don't have time to get out there on the streets. I don't have time for the relationships, you know, the investment of myself into these other people. Those were the arguments that I've used in the past. But especially after last weekend, I don't have time not to know
right,
my neighbors.
Absolutely.
I don't have time not to know them. And I really do believe God has lined each of us up in our homes, whether we are in apartment buildings or condos or no matter what our community looks like, I think we are there for a very certain purpose. You know, it says in Acts 17:26 that God knew when we would live and where we would be.
Mm.
And it's all for his purpose. It's all for his glory. And we just have to open our eyes, take the blinders off, shrug off all the excuses, and get out there and meet these people. These are the works that he has prepared for us in advance to do.
Absolutely. Oh, I love that. You know, and your story, I mean, that's so amazing that your neighbors are there and just, I mean, right there to help it. And if you didn't know each other, you wouldn't have received the same
Mm-mm.
type of help. And yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of just in February, my sister was in town with her family and we were out to lunch, and all of a sudden I get a text from my neighbor. The same one who I just lent the battery to, or gave the battery to, and she said, there is a water emergency flooding issue at your house. You need to come home immediately.
Yeah.
And our washing machine had broke. The sensor didn't work, and it's on the upstairs level, and water had poured down into the kitchen. Well, my grandma was home alone, and she saw the water, and she was so panicked that she didn't realize or remember that our phone numbers are right there on the fridge for her to use.
Mm-hmm.
But she ran across the street to our neighbor, and
yeah.
she was able
she knew
to
how to reach
help.
You.
Yeah, and she knew how to reach us through the neighbor.
Yeah, our power goes off a lot in our neighborhood, and we'll all be texting each other, you know, are you home? Is it back on? Is it back on? You know, is it safe to come back yet? Because, you know, it's very strange. One person will have power across the street, the other person doesn't. And, you know, we share electricity, and we keep in touch. We're watching our neighbor's dog for a few days right now. The benefits really just go far beyond convenience, though.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is where we find belonging. This is where we should find acceptance. This is where we should find security. This is where we should find unity and strength in people drawing together. You know, I talked to a woman who's hosting a neighborhood cafe in her home. You know, so this is one thing I just love to do, is to come alongside women and say, look, I did this. I live to tell about it, and I can help you do it too. And so we've got neighborhood cafes now across the country of women who are just saying, hey, I want to love my neighbors. I want to do it, and I'm committed to doing it. But she had done a neighborhood Bible study before and had gotten to know one of her neighbors, and turns out there was just a horrific crime in their home. And because her neighbors had already been meeting together in her home, they had started to build that unity and started to build those relationships and lay that foundation of trust, and they were really able to support each other through that. You know, unfortunately, that's something that happens, whether it's a crime or whether it's just a situation of someone who's struggling in their marriage or with addiction. I mean, these things are all around us.
Right.
We can't make any assumptions about our neighbors until we really know them personally.
Absolutely.
We might even just assume that the person who's letting their grass grow and not taking care of their house is just lazy, until we find out that there are really issues in that home. And instead of complaining, we need to be helping.
I love that. Now, for someone who's thinking, Amy, you're convicting me, which I've said this before. Amy, I'm going to do this. I promise.
Every time I talk to you about this, you go get some more kids. I mean, that's the craziest thing.
That's not like, okay, we have to get these kids situated, and then we'll be able to do that, which I'm opening my home just in different ways.
Yes,
currently.
You are. You absolutely are. And you know what? I do a kids' cafe, too. I have had my neighborhood cafe like in the morning sometimes, and moms of preschoolers and littler kids will bring their kids, and I have somebody come over and watch them, and we do a little snack and a separate thing for them. So I'm glad you brought that up, because it is something to mention. You can offer something for the children as well. Many moms couldn't come if you didn't have something for their kids to
exactly.
do.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. You know, so for someone that's saying, okay, yes, I'm going to either do a kids cafe or a neighborhood cafe, or where can I get the resources, and tell them about your kit? Because, I mean, you have made it. You sent me one, and I'm just like, okay, it could not be easier than this. Tell us about that.
I really did just try to make it easier, because I think once you have tools in your hand, you know, you're much more likely to use them. So the kit is based upon my years of experience of just going out into my neighborhood and having people into my home. So it starts off with a planning guide. It talks about there are scriptures in there for you to pray for yourself and for you to pray for your neighbors. There are tools in there to help you choose, you know, what are you going to talk about if you continue to gather after your open house, how to choose a Bible study. I have a little curriculum guide called Espresso. It's a little mini magazine that's included in the kit. And these articles, you know, it's a little different from a church Bible study, in that with your neighbors, you're going to have women from many, many different churches.
And that's my neighborhood, or not even different churches, though, different religions.
Or my favorite, no church at all, because that's really what my heart is for. You just can't jump into those deeper Bible studies on, you know, Revelation or end time prophecy or fruits of the Spirit. You know, you got to start with something that is very unifying to people. So the Espresso mini magazine has my testimony in it. It has articles from several other women just talking about friendships and why do we need friendships and how are friendships different when they're rooted in faith. So it takes you a little bit deeper, a little bit deeper, a little bit deeper each time, but always respects that you've got a lot of different women from different backgrounds coming, never denying or avoiding the truth of Jesus Christ, but just doing it in a very natural and comfortable way that is attractive to your neighbors. So the planning guide has a calendar. It has a place for you to keep track of the people that you talk to. You know, I always invite my neighbors, but I invite my friends from church, and I really encourage women to get their church involved in this and to work with their women's ministry directors or their pastors there to let them know what they're doing, get their prayer covering over this. But I also invite friends who go to different churches. You know, they might not live next door, but we don't get to worship together.
This is a way that we can really gather, you know, outside of things like conferences. I put recipes in there, you know, just so that no one has a, it can be at a loss as to what I do. A little shopping list, a little to-do list. There's a place for you to keep track every time you have women over. Who was there? What were their prayer needs? Do I need to follow up with them? What do I need to remember for next time? There are invitations in the kit. There are greeting cards for you to send to your neighbors after you've gotten together. Really just tried to put things in your hand to make this easy for women. I really want to eliminate the excuses and get people excited about doing this.
Absolutely. And then, so on the website, if they go to the neighborhoodcafe.net, they mm-hmm. can just order those. And how much are they for the, like, the cafe kit?
$35.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's so worth it.
to have everything you. There. And can we say it's adorable?
Yeah, it is adorable.
It, yeah, the invitations are so great, and I just wanted to make it fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's just a wonderful way to just make it as easy as possible. Just go out and meet your neighbors, and, you know, there will be some that will say no, but there will be some that will say yes, and I think
yeah.
that's the cool part.
Yeah, you know, I've never had anyone be rude to me. I've never had anyone be confrontational or offended that I came over to meet them. Now, I've had women who were much more receptive than others. You know, I've had you have to just follow their body language. Mm-hmm. You know, do they throw open the door and yell hallelujah, or are they very reserved and hesitant and, you know, just want to take your invitation and that's all? Just respect that. You know, I always, it's great to take another neighbor with you. And then there's some common sense things, like if a man answers the door, just ask for his wife or mother or lady of the house. Don't step into a home unless you know that the wife is there. I try to provide just all kinds of tips like that on my website and as I talk to women personally about doing this.
That's so good. Now, we only have a couple minutes left, so I'd love to hear just another story from you. And I believe the first time we talked, you shared one about a woman that you were able to pray for, or a neighbor that you were able to even walk through her illness.
Yeah, her name is Crystal. She's still on my street, and actually her daughter now is coming to my neighborhood cafe, and she heard about it through another neighbor who happened to be a client of hers. So I love the way God just connects us in many, many different ways. But when I pass out invitations, if nobody's home, I leave it on their door. And a few minutes after I left an invitation in Crystal's door, she called me, and she said, you know, wow, I'm so touched that someone just knocked on my door and wanted to be my friend. She is struggling with a long-term illness. She needs a double lung transplant. She's in her 40s. Mm. And she said, you know, I've lost a lot of friends through my illness, which is just a fact of you know, not being able to get out, not being able to go to places and do the things you used to do. And, you know, she has never been able to come to my neighborhood cafe.
Yeah.
But I stop in and say hi to her sometimes, and she knows I'm here, and I keep in touch through her daughter and, you know, send her a card every once in a while. And just knowing that this woman is on my street, and I was driving by her house twice a day, four times a day, oblivious to this wonderful woman who I could support. I don't have to take her meals twice a week. I don't have to, you know, do these things that we fear, that we fear in such a silly way. All she wanted was a friend and just to know that somebody nearby cared about her. Mm. And that's really all that it takes. People just need to know that they are loved. It's the first step to introducing them to the depth and the length and the width and the height of the love of Christ is when it happens right in their own neighborhood.
I love that. That's a perfect ending because we're going to go into music right now. But Amy, no, thank you. Thank you so
welcome.
Much
thank
for
you,
sharing.
Christine.
And again, it's theneighborhoodcafe.net, theneighborhoodcafe.net. There's more information and really think about opening your home and your heart to your neighbors this week. Have a wonderful week, and we'll catch you next week on Living Inspired.
Thank you for being a part of Living Inspired with Tricia Gordon.